Sport on RTE Radio 1.
And Des Kalb is back with the sports news desk.
Yeah, we're just chatting about the All-Ireland final. We're going to hear about that in a moment because, first of all, would you believe there's 2 hours of play gone already on day two of the Open Golf Championship in Portrush. And there for us, up with the larks, is Greg Allen.
No change to the top of the leaderboard in light breezes. And that five-way tie for the lead overnight on four under par involves Harris English, Jakob Skov, Olesen, Hautong Lee, Matt Fitzpatrick and Christian Bezuidenhout, who's actually just underway. And we're about 90 minutes away from Rory McIlroy. Second round getting underway. He's just three off the lead after a day yesterday on which his extreme inaccuracy off the tee left him playing the golf course mostly from the rough. He was down in 132nd position in driving accuracy statistics, and yet it was almost like he willed himself to stay in contention, unlike his opening round of 79 here 6 years ago when he was similarly plagued with ball striking woes. This time though, rather than feel pressure of expectation from the huge partisan gallery, he actually drew strength from the thousands who thronged to get a view of his battling round, never more so than in his final four holes with a par-saving 12-foot putt on the 15th, followed by a late birdie on the 17th, halting a run of dropped shots to get him in on one under par 70.
Look, I feel the support of an entire country out there, which is a wonderful position to be in, but at the same time, you don't want to let them down. So, you know, there's that little bit of added pressure, but I felt like I dealt with it really well today. Certainly dealt with it better than I did 6 years ago. You know, so it was, you know, just happy to get off to a good start and get myself into the tournament. You know, and I sort of surprised that four, you know, there's a few guys in four under, but I'm surprised four under's leading. I thought, you know, someone might have went out there and shot six or seven today. So, you know, only three back with 54 holes to go. I'm really happy with where I am.
Rory, the par save on 15, Rory, just how important was that? Because obviously it spurred that fine finish.
Yeah, that was important. Yeah, it was a big putt, especially, you know, having bogeyed three of the last four at that point. That was important. It was a huge putt to keep whatever momentum I had. And then after that, you know, playing those last three holes and one under was great.
Three off the lead, McIlroy underway here at 10 past 10. It looks like he's getting the better break with the weather than Shane Lowry, who's out after 3 p.m. on one under par when rain is forecast. Alongside Lowry will be world number one, Scotty Scheffler, who's just one off the lead on three under. And underway in the middle of the order will be Tom McKibben on one over and Paddy Carrington and Darren Clark, both on four over par.
Great stuff. Thanks, Greg. To Gaelic Games now, and Cork have named an unchanged team for Sunday's All-Ireland Hurling Final against Tipperary. The starting 15 is the same as the one that beat Dublin in the semi-final. Seamus Harnady and Cormac O'Brien, who were injured, rejoin the matchday panel. Now, we heard from Tip earlier in the programme. I'm reading Sonia O'Sullivan in the Irish Times today, proud to be a rebel. Aren't they all?
Shock. But
it's a great read, though, but being from Cove, etc. The year I first got to drive a Sea Reg on a car, it was a badge of honour, proudly displayed driving up to Dublin and around the country. Anyway, it's a good read. But look at who's going to win the game. For the last time this summer, let's get the verdict of Donlough Cusack.
Good morning, Hurling Nation. It's Tán Lámhar Tag Hurling Hannah Féin. After a championship that has caught fire on some days and been damp on the other days, the two most exciting teams of the summer have come true. Cork have played a style of hurling which flows like spring water on the good days. Tip have emerged out of the pack, getting better as the season progressed and flashing a full forward line which can inflict as much damage as Cork's. Two teams with no lack of self-belief squaring up. Confidence comes and goes, even in Cork, but when confidence returns to either of these two, it comes galloping back. And that belief comes from long history. The Tip dream for many of a year, even before the microwave season was imposed upon us, was to have the hay saved and Cork bait. The most recent battles are only slightly relevant. Tip beat Cork in regular league play in February. Since then, they met in the league final when Cork won by 10 points and in Munster when Cork won by 15. The Rebels scored 7 goals in those two games, the Premier scored none. But the circumstances were different. Tip were a work of progress during the league. Liam Cahill was throwing many debuts around, and they were unhinged by an early sending off in the Munster game. We know too that in Tip, landlocked though it is, the tie comes in, the tie goes out faster than it does in most places. They have continued a habit of the last 50 years by picking up single All-Irelands every few years and then fading back quickly. In addition to winning this year's under-20 All-Ireland, three different Tipperary schools have won the last three Harty Cups. They've won 2 of the last 5 minor All-Irelands. Liam Cahill's willingness to roll the dice with young players has paid off, Mullen and Uber and Farr. Against Kilkenny in the semi-final, most of the imagination and confidence came from the less experienced Tipside. How can the blue and gold upset Cork on Sunday? The 7-goal hammering of a half-frozen Dublin team in the semi-final obscures some rebel memories of Clare's comeback from being 12 points down in the first game of the Munster Championship. Peter Duggan in at full forward caused major problems. Clare scored 3 goals in that second half. In the first game against Limerick, Cork were well beaten and were dominated in the middle third for long stretches. Another 3 goals were conceded. Remember Aaron Gillan scooting in along the inline from the left to score. Tip's full forward line of Darren McCarthy, John McGrath and Jason Ford has a good mix. 1 young colt and 2 old foxes. Ford and McGrath have 8 goals between them in this championship. They can hurt Cork. And when the game enters the home stretch, being able to throw in Noel McGrath's experience is a luxury. The challenge for Tip is digging enough ball out of the middle third. Rhys Shelley's puckouts are fast and varied, but Cork have more aggression and more options under the ball. Only Limerick and Munster games have managed to smother Cork in the middle third. Tip don't have the experience and physicality of Limerick. Neither do Tip have a player who's made the same kind of impact as Brian Hayes. In a short period of time, he's emerged as the pivot of Cork forwards, always available for high or low supply and turbocharged once it hits his hand. Cork's hunger feels more evident, and their forwards seem a shade sharper. There will be goals, and there will be madness. Prediction? Overnight, Cork have named an unchanged team to that which defeated Dublin and 14 of the same starting 15 from last year's All-Ireland final. The hurt from losing that final is more than a bad memory. It's the path forward. And with so many carrying that pain in their bones instead of a weight, it should be their fuel. Cork to win. That's it, Hurling Nation. Another season down. Hurling is food for the soul, drink for the imagination and rhythm for the dance. Win Tannavas on Sunday.
You kind of have the Tip colours on this morning, Des. Is that to balance out Jackie Hurley this weekend?
Well, she'll definitely, I'm guessing she'll definitely be in red on Up for the Match tomorrow night. You can expect lots of Cork bias there, but I'll do my best to balance it. Half past nine tomorrow night, Up for the Match. In soccer news, it was a great win for St. Patrick's Athletic in the Europa Conference League last night. They beat Hegelmann 2-0 in Lithuania. Mason Melia scored one and set up the other goal for Kian Levy. St. Pat's now play Nama Kalju from Estonia. Let's hear from the St. Pat's manager, Stephen Kenny.
They caused us some problems tonight. That was a right game we got tonight. Thankfully, we got the 2-goal win and 3-0 in aggregate. To win home and away in Europe is a big achievement. Keane Levy, brilliant for the first goal. Set up Jason McClellan, did a great effort, shot, and Mason followed in as all good strikers should. Second goal, Mason has broken and set Keane up, and Keane's finish, which I'm delighted with, because he has the capacity to do that. And that will do his confidence any harm. 4 clean sheets on the bounce, so that's really good from everyone. I think the support we had was amazing. You know, like when you think about the cost of coming to Lithuania, to Kaunas, and it's expensive, and people made such an effort to time involved in travelling, it's difficult to get to, and just a sheer commitment in doing that. It wasn't a glamour tie, and certainly, but everyone made that, like, we brought a brilliant crowd, and it made such a difference to us and really helped inspire us to win. And that was such an important victory. And we know we've been up and down our form, and I think that's a great boost for us.
That's Stephen Kenny. Shamrock Rovers know they'll now play St. Joseph's from Gibraltar in the second round of the Conference League after they knocked Cliftonville out last night. Meanwhile, England came back from 2 goals down to draw 2-2 before beating Sweden 3-2 in a nail-biting penalty shootout to reach the semi-final of the Women's Euros. There were 9 penalties missed in the shootout. Sweden scored 2 out of 7. England got 3. In tonight's tie, it's Spain against the host Switzerland. It's also a busy night in the Sports Direct FAI Cup. 10 games down for decision. No all Premier Division ties. The full fixture list is on the RTE website. At the Tour de France, Tadej Pogačar delivered a brilliant display on the first true mountain test of this year's tour to retake the yellow jersey with a big lead. He's now 3.5 minutes ahead of Jonas Vingegaard. Ireland's Ben Healy, who was in yellow coming into the day, dropped down to 11th in the general classification after finishing the stage over 13.5 minutes behind Pogačar. Finally, a reminder that we've 2 race meetings today. They're at Down Royal and Killarney.
Des, thank you and enjoy the weekend.